Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now enjoy the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Mike Lambert, pastor of the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church. And now, here's Pastor Mike.
Our study today is entitled, And Jesus Stood Still. And this is our opening take. The blind man Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, has stayed the gate of the Savior and holds him in his tracks. The Bible says simply, and Jesus stood still. Jesus pauses his task and mission of heading to Jerusalem and waits in perfect readiness to attend to the pleading one and grant him his request. The cry of Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me, has caught his ear, and the music of the word mercy holds him in his place. Stopping in his steps and ceasing his ever-flowing discourse on the truths of his father's kingdom, he tarries at something. What does he tarry at? He tarries at the blind beggar's call and decides to do his bidding. In the stories of the Bible, we see servants waiting upon their masters, but here is the Lord of all stopping and waiting upon one who is lower than a servant. He is waiting upon a blind man whose trade was beggary. Jesus stood still, and at that moment, he was all there, and he was all in. He was ready, he was willing, and he was able to do all that the poor man asked. It is as if Jesus was at his beck and call and could not take a step forward until he had answered his prayer. And Christ is still like that today. And what should the church say? Amen. If you and I will appeal to his love, to his power, and to his mercy, he will stand still for us as well. He will stand still and listen to you and to me. Will you please pray with me? Our Father in heaven, as we take time now in our worship to open the scriptures, we invite your Holy Spirit to be poured out in double portion upon us. Lord, I ask for your help, and we ask that you will lead and guide us into all truth. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Please open your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. And we want to begin and go through a little bit of this story, starting with verse number 46. So Mark chapter 10, please open your Bible, starting with verse number 46. And the Bible says, and they came to what city? It was the city of Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have what on me? Have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But what did he do? He cried out the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still, and he commanded him to be called. And they called a blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately, what happened? He received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Amen. Not too long ago, I had someone ask me, When you preach on Sabbath, do you preach to saints or sinners? And after a moment of thought, I decided to not answer the question. For to answer that question would be to divide my audience, and I don't ever want to do that. Amen. But I did decide in my own heart and mind that if I preach Christ, if I preach Christ as our Savior, if I preach Christ as our Lord, I shall kill two birds with what? One stone. And give both saints and sinners something good to think about. You see, saints know no sweeter music than the name of Jesus. And sinners know no richer comfort than Jesus' life and work. We preach to all when we preach of Him who is our all in all. Christ comes as life to the dead, and He is equally life to the living. And you remember 1 John 5:12. I quote it often in my own mind and in my own heart, and I believe it 100%. What about you? He that hath the Son hath what? Hath life. Praise God. And the Bible says that after Jesus heard the cry of the blind man Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, the Bible says, and Jesus stood still. When you read the gospel stories, when you read through Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, you find out that this was not his frequent posture. Our divine Lord in this story, he has changed position. Jesus was pretty much always on the move. The Bible says he went about doing what? The Bible says he went about doing good. He might have done much among men if he had found a place and remained in one place, one spot, so that the crowds could come to him and then listen to his teachings and be healed by his power. He might have done a great good doing that. But Jesus was not an immovable and stagnant tower of benevolence. He was always energetic, and he was on the move for the best of humanity. As an itinerant preacher, he never wearied in his circuit. One does not see Jesus standing still for very long. His love did not wait to be sought after by men, for he, the Bible says, for he came to do what? To seek and to save that which was lost. The zeal of our Lord's house consumed him, so that for him there was no hanging around or standing still. Earlier on in the chapter here in Mark 10, we read that our Lord was going up to Jerusalem. His face was steadfastly set to accomplishing his work, his great work. It is towards the end of his earthly ministry. He's going up to Jerusalem for what purpose? Help me out. For what purpose? Yeah, to die, to give his life, to redeem mankind from their sins. His own words were, "Behold," here in Mark chapter 10, if you read a few verses before, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and the scribes, and they shall mock him, shall scourge him, shall spit on him and kill him." And then on the third day, he told them ahead of time, on the third day, what was he going to do? He was going to rise again. And with brave resolve, he made his way to the great city. Every pause at that point to him would have been untimely unless there was a very good reason to arrest his progress. His great work of redeeming man from sin pressed upon his soul, and he longed to be fully engaged in it. His thoughts were urgently preoccupied, and his heart was focused on doing whose will? His Father's will. And in the midst of his great work, what does he do? He pauses. He pauses his steady progress. The Bible simply says, and he stood still. Praise God. So what was it that fastened him to that spot? It was not hesitancy, because his resolve to do his Father's will was too firm. It was not fear. The thought of drawing or shrinking back at that point had not passed his mind. Onward was his fixed resolve. And in that, with his disciples all around him, with the crowd following him outside the gates of Jericho, on his way to Jerusalem, which is not now far off, Jesus, what does he do? He stops and stands still. I think I see him suddenly arrested. He moves not an inch, but he waits in listening attitude. His eye is fixed in the direction of a certain pleading cry. Stopping his steps, ceasing his instruction, he gives ear, he gives eye, he gives tongue to the petitioner who has moved his heart. This petitioner's voice rises above the crowd who was telling him to do what? To be quiet. Blind man Bartimaeus' voice rose above the tramping of feet, the hubbub of the crowd, and the unkindness of certain ones yelling back at him. And the cry came from a blind beggar. That was the man. Another way of putting it would be this way. The blind beggar of Jericho had stopped the prophet and savior of Nazareth. Praise God. And I believe we ought to remember that today. What about you? Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, caused Jesus, who is the Son of God, the Son of Man, who is the creator of the universe, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, caused Jesus, this one, to pause and look his way with his cry of mercy. So, as you and I live in the year of our Lord, 2023, I believe we are living in great times. And I believe it would be well for us if we are going to play our part in the hastening of the soon coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I believe it would be good for us to remember the simple fact that Jesus, when he hears our cries for help and mercy, what does he do? Stand still. I mean, think about it. He's in the Holy of Holies in the heavenly sanctuary. The book of Revelation talks about the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven. Jesus is there serving on the behalf of humanity, overseeing the progress and the keeping of how much of the universe? The whole universe. And when you and I get down on our knees, I don't understand it, do you? I don't understand it, but I'm grateful for it. When you and I get down on our knees and say, Lord, will you have mercy? Will you help me today? I need help right now. Can you see Jesus pausing a moment, saying, hey, I got your back. Yeah, I can hear you. I see what you're going through. No one can do it like Jesus. Along with this point that I like to draw from the story is that the reason why Jesus stood still was because Bartimaeus was full of need. He was what? He's full of need. He had two loads to carry. He was poor, and that was bad enough, but he was also blind, and that was worse. He was a man with double needs. He was without bread and without sight. Therefore, his cries had double loudness in the ears of the sinner's friend, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want us to think about that for a moment. I'm wondering if there is anyone here today who has a double need. Who is doubly guilty? Someone who feels that if Jesus does not save you, you will be doubly damned. Is there anyone whose needs is doubly pressing so that your heart is about to break? If so, the thing you need to know today is that Jesus will what? Jesus will stand still for you. You who have nothing, maybe physically or spiritually, and can see no hope of ever having anything, you are the favored ones whose pleading voices Jesus never disregards. I had someone say to me one time when I mentioned these thoughts in another setting, Pastor, you are preaching up humanity's bankruptcy. I never quite thought of it that way, but my response to him was, yes, now you're getting it. Exactly so, because the Bible says, what does the Bible say? We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then three chapters later in the book of Romans, and the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So listen, Bartimaeus was a man who was full of what? He was full of need. And though today I am not a beggar or blind physically, I'm full of need too. And so are you. The Laodicean attitude and condition has too much a part of our lives. And unless we recognize our need, like Bartimaeus, and repent, there is how much hope? There is no hope. Time is short. Jesus is coming soon. The signs of the time, I believe, are sounding off all around us, outside the church and in the church. And you and I, we must prepare for what is ahead. We are to watch the signs of the times. We are to know the teachings of Scripture. We are to know the great prophetic pictures, which we have been studying for about a month and a half, a couple of times a week, and we'll wrap up in a few nights. There is much preparation, but what should be, I ask myself today and you, but what should be our main focus? Our main focus is not our understanding of the 1260-year prophecy, or the 1290, or the 1335, or the 2300 days, or the 70 weeks. Should we understand these things? Yes. But if my focus is just on prophetic numbers, is prophetic numbers going to give me victory over my weaknesses and sin? No. You know what it's going to do? It's going to drive me further into discouragement and despair. Because only one can take me out of the depths of selfishness and sin. And that is my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is my focus. And when I prayerfully see the pictures of Jesus in Matthew and in Mark, and especially the book of John and in the book of Revelation, when I see these pictures, it helps me to understand who God is more, and that helps me to see myself more in comparison to Christ and His righteousness. And that is something I need to see, and that's something you need to see. And when we truly see, then we are able to cry out, Jesus, Thou Son of David, have what? Mercy upon me. That which stopped the Savior's step was the blind beggar's cry. The man did not sing a beautiful, touching hymn. What did he do? He just cried out. Sometimes persons have such melodious voices that if they sing in the street or in the mall or at the airport, by the way, this past weekend when I was at the Seattle airport, there was someone playing the guitar in one of those little open areas, and I lingered for a moment. Do you know why I lingered? He had a wonderful voice. I said, I can stop my errand right now for a moment because I'm listening to this wonderful song. And so sometimes we hear these things and we stop to listen and are in no hurry to go on our particular errands. But this man, blind Bartimaeus, this man did not sing. What did he do? He cried out. It was a ringing cry which increased in strength every time it was uttered. He was shouted down, but was he shouted down? No. Thus his cry, it rose up to the ear of Jesus. Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. The voice came from a heart that was burdened with misery, breaking with desire, and weary from long years of darkness. Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Thus the one who knew his need cried out for help. And he is the one who stopped Jesus in his tracks. Along with this, we see that his cry was for what? It's one word. It was for mercy. If you ask the Lord for anything on the ground of merit, you will find Jesus continuing his progress to Jerusalem. On that day, by the way, when you read the story there in Mark chapter 10, there were those, most of them were church leaders, who tried to ask Jesus certain things that were not exactly appropriate. Not only church leaders, two of his own disciples following Jesus on the way to Jerusalem asked Jesus. Jesus said the same thing to them that he said to Bartimaeus. He said to Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? He said to James and John, what do you want to do for me? And do you remember what they requested? Yeah. When you enter your kingdom, we want to sit with you on your right-hand side and your left-hand side. And what did Jesus say? That's not mine to give. He did say, you are going to experience some of the things that I have experienced, but you don't understand. I can't give you that one. You know, God decides those things. And so, if we think, or if the disciples back then thought, yeah, well, we'll just ask something in terms of being close to Jesus and maybe in terms of some kind of merit. You know what Jesus at that point says? No, I can't do that. If you or I think ourselves a very good person, deserving favor at the hands of Jesus, we will find that he will pass on. For Christ has not come, the Bible says, to call the righteous, but who? Sinners to repentance. The proud man prays and thinks his eloquent prayer must prevail, but the winds carry his supplications to who knows where. But the humble man, though, does more than just smite his breast and say, God be merciful to me, a sinner. His cry for mercy ends up winning the day. Jesus said to the publican, you go without my blessed mercy. But the man who called for mercy, he goes home. And how does he go home? Blessed with the mercy of Christ. So the humble man does more than smite his breast. What does he do? He wins the day. The Bible says, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Such prayers cause Jesus to look and stand still. When we say, Lord, it seems like all hell is breaking loose. Can you help me today? I surrender to you. I need your guidance. I need your counsel. I need your forgiveness. I need your cleansing. I need the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. How often? Every day. And do you? Of course you do. And when we pray and live like that, you know what Jesus does? He looks at us and stands still. The last thought we wish to consider about the cry of Bartimaeus is that the name of Jesus was used in his plea. What's the point? The name of Jesus was used in his plea. Is there anything in heaven or outside heaven more powerful than the name of Jesus? The Bible says, recording the words of Jesus, by the way, where he told a group of people, whatsoever shall you ask the Father in whose name? In my name, he will give it you. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Amen. The Father and Son stand pledged to give and to accept every draft upon the account of heaven, which is endorsed with the name of Jesus. A name which is above how many names? All names. Every name. A name which makes the angels of heaven rejoice and the devils of hell tremble. There is no name like it anywhere. I can remember my first prayer. Can you? My first prayer, I thought I had to introduce myself to God. And so I got down on my knees and I said, God, this is Mike Lambert speaking. I don't pray that way anymore. I know God knows me more than I know me. And so when I pray, I'm thankful for Jesus for all he's done for me. And I follow his word.
Well, I'm going to come to the Father, not in my name. Don't deserve that. I come to the Father in whose name? The name of Jesus. I believe every prayer should come to the Father in the name of Jesus. So the blind beggar, by faith, you know what he called out? He called out, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. So here's the thing. If you know the name of Jesus, use it. If you know the name of Jesus, plead it. If you know who he is, what he is, and what he came to do, and what he is doing for us right now, if you know his love, if you know his mercy, if you know his power, if you know his word, if you know his promises, plead all these things in the name of Jesus, the Son of David. And there is power there. And he will look and he will listen. And I believe he will stand. I believe he still stands still today. And you and I will find that in these great and awesome times, especially the challenges that are before us, with all the prophetic scenario that still has to unfold, great things are going to take place. Jesus is going to be doing miracle after miracle. The devil and his imps of darkness, guess what they're going to be doing? They're going to be doing miracles as well. And we will not be able to keep up with what the devil throws at us, except that I cry out and you cry out, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. We will find that in these great and awesome times, if our focus is on Christ and on his word, we will have good speed and God speed. And one day we will see and we will hear that again it will be said that Jesus stood still.
Lord, we are grateful that you are always on the move. And we are grateful that you know when to stand still. And Lord, it is our heart's desire that we would have Jesus each and every day. Lord, please forgive us, cleanse us, and empower us to know when Jesus moves forward and to know when he stands still. Help us to follow always in his footsteps. And we ask that you will keep us to this in his worthy and precious name. And let all the church say, Amen.
You've been listening to Mike Lambert, pastor of the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit his church this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You will find the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 11279 East Audagon Street in Holland, Michigan, and their worship service begins at 10:50 a.m. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.